Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. I love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Hello, everybody. This is Joe and Angel. We're back for another Mailbag Monday podcast.
Remember that you can submit your questions by direct messaging us on Facebook or Instagram, or you can email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com.
So let's take a look at our first question this week.
Okay, sometimes my kids have violent outbursts. How can I stop it? I have read that calmness means control, but I really wonder if that person that came up with that line was ever a parent.
Yeah, I can feel that right there. Everything a child does or says, he's seen somebody else do. He's heard somebody else say. The Bible says a child, when fully taught, just be just like their parent or whoever they're around, that they just respond. They're saying what they've seen. So if they're around calm all the time, I think it's normal to be calm. If they're around violent outbursts, I think, well, that's how you get what you want. That's how that person got what they wanted. You know, that's how I learned how to scream, holler, yell, throw something. I get attention. And so it's learned behavior. And you have to learn how to change what the atmosphere is that they're in. You know, violent outbursts, it's learned behavior. Well, we're not going to do that. So responding to it, as the parent, you got to stay calm. I don't care if they've just screamed, thrown a fit, what they've done. Somebody said, listen, we're not going to do that right now. We're going to do this. And there's been times, I mean, I remember when our kids were in a grocery store. We got six kids. We've got a two-cart shopper. And I've had kids just throw a fit sometimes because, you know, you're going up and down aisles. And hey, I want that. I want that. Hey, can I have that? Can I have two of those? I want that. I mean, the cereal aisle is like the Valley of the Shadow of Death with six kids. I want that. I want this. No, pick one box and we're going to get that. And there's been times I've got my kids where they've got been out of shape. You're going to get that for me? You're going to get that for me? No, we're shopping right now. And I've had to just pick up a kid like a football and put him under my arm and walk out the door to the car. Where are you going? Well, we're going to go home right now. No, 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 I'll be good. I'll be good. No. Second chance. No, we're headed to the house, you know. And so somebody's got to be the consistency. The Bible says God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God didn't go schizo this morning hurling lightning bolts to the planet. God's the same. So as a parent, I can learn whatever they're doing, I need to be consistent. I've got to say the same thing, react the same way. I got to have some calmness in my own life. Then I said, this is how we live here in this house. We do this. We don't do this. We say this. We don't say that. And so it becomes something they want to do, not something you're threatening that they do.
Yeah, and I think a violent outburst. Now, you know, that's not really something that I had to deal with. And I mean, unless there is some kind of a chemical imbalance or something,
could be.
If it is just a behavior, I mean, then I would start watching. What are they watching? The video games. I mean, everything. Kids today are inundated.
Yes.
With violence on television, with video games. I had to really curb my son's video games, just because of the violence and the suggestive women and everything. They're getting inundated at way too young of an age when their filter's not ready to handle it.
Nope, it's not so, prepared to weed it out yet.
Yeah, but I mean, the violent thing is, I would try to, like Joe said, isolate the source. Where is it coming from? And first of all, take care of that. And then with your consistency, it will pay off, not immediately. Parenting there's not a magic wand.
We'd all want one.
Yeah, for sure. Where, you know, this works. It doesn't necessarily work the first time, and it may not work the 50th time. But when you say consistency, that doesn't necessarily mean calm all the time. I think, when I think of consistency, like with my word is what's going to – it's going to have the
yes.
final say.
Yes.
I used to say to my son when he's little, your word is the greatest thing that you can give me. But I had to be an example of that. For example, one time my daughter was terrible at sharing. She was very selfish, and she was like two, and she would not share. And I said to her one day, I said, listen, if you do not share, the next time I catch you not sharing, that toy is going away forever. It's Ooh. Never coming back. I didn't play games. And she goes, forever? I go, yes. She lost two toys, and they never came back. And so then all I'd have to say to her after that was, are you sharing? And she, whatever's in her hand, would just shoot over to my son's as fast as it could. But I had to follow through yes. with what I said. That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. So you have to follow through. You can't threaten.
Nope.
You can't, like I said the other day, you can't go postal one time and then ignore it the next time. You have got to be consistent. Your word has got to be the final answer.
Because your kids will be like a weatherman. They'll get up every day. What kind of mood's mom in today?
Oh, for sure.
Oh, good mood. Get the list out. Oh, bad mood. Stay away. And they'll read you.
Oh,
and
for sure.
You got to learn to, just like God, be consistent. Be the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So my kids are older and still not out of the house. My husband and I are ready for them to be gone, but we know that they will simply not be able to make it financially yet. I am sure it is a failure on our parts as parents, but what do we do now? I'm not sure we are ready to put their stuff on the front porch.
Well, welcome to the new world.
I think millennials get a really bad rap on this, to be honest with you, because our society has changed.
It has.
Did you know that in Italy, the average age that a man leaves home is 30?
Yes.
It's been part of our society that at 18, you're out there on your own, historically. But today, student loans, you would push our kids to go to college, student loans.
Average marriage is much later than it was 30 years ago
because of the rampant divorce that
yes.
they've seen. They're much slower to jump into a relationship,
yes.
and there's fear, So, my kids, I remember my son was a senior in college, and he came asking me for something. I said, "Son, you know what? I don't owe you anything but to love you. The handouts are done," and it was a tough little lesson, but he did. He got it. But I think that you have to get a plan together with your kids. I don't think you just – you can get so frustrated because there is a time for them to go. The grace leaves the parents.
Yes.
And they can just comfortably settle into that bedroom.
Well, you kind of go back to some of the basic house rules. I love my kids, and I'm going to help you. And I had a daughter who's – college graduate, but had a husband that died 2.5 years into the marriage who needed help. It's like, well, you lost 2/3 of your income. Your husband's died. Nobody expected him to die. And so I've got to step back in as a parent. I'm going to have to write some checks and help out and give some wisdom on what we're going to do. But if they're still in your house, it's like, what are you going to do? Well, I'm trying to just keep it all. Where are you at? Well, I'm trying to finish college. I just got a new job. I'm trying to get a car loan. I'm trying to get my credit rating set up. And so what we did, we put together the list of the holy 10, I call them, 10 things every adult's going to have to do.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, you got to have a driver's license so you can drive mm-hmm. by yourself. Number two, you're eventually going to have a car. Well, you can't have a car unless you can get a loan. So what's your credit rating? So I had to teach my children what the credit rating was, how you get it up, how you get it down. You can't just take every credit card that sends you in the mail because it's going to kill your credit rating.
Mm-hmm.
So credit rating is very important. How you meet people. Because if you're not going to meet people, you're going to live in this bedroom till you're 99. You won't get out. So how you get socially involved at church or in the community. So there's 10 holy things we did. Like, then you had to sit down with them and say, okay, I think you're doing good. So my dad pulled the old thing. I was born in 1951. So my senior year, my dad came to me very calm and said 2 months before I graduated, well, son, what are you going to do when you get out of the house? I thought, what? Well, when you graduate high school, what are you going to do? And I had a great summer plan. We're going to the lake, going to do some skiing. We had a really good summer. He said, well, no, not you're out of high school. You got to either get a job or, go to college. So what are you going to do? I thought, oh, man, I wouldn't go do nothing. I'm just looking forward to getting out of high school and I'll have to go to class every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize an adult world was coming.
Right.
And we're not prepared for that. And, if you look up the word teenager, that's sort of a new word in the last 100 years. Benjamin Franklin went from being a child to being an adult. You know, the founding fathers, if you read about any of them, you know, whether on ships or renting something, you went from being a child to an adult. There were no teenage years. So we've created La La Land where you can wear your hat backwards and the britches of a 400-pound man and somebody's paying the light bill and the water bill and the gas bill and the car bill. We've not got them prepared for adulthood. So what we did was, okay, here's what we're going to do. This is what you're going to, because all of our kids went to college because none of my family went to college. So we said, every one of you are going to go to college. If a hair lips every one of you, you're going to go. I don't care if you major in water bowling or basket weaving. So I had big frames on the living room wall, six of them for my six kids, gold nameplate at the bottom. And they came home from school one day. My oldest is in junior high. I said, Dad, what are the frames? Are we going to put pictures? No, that's where you're going to hang your college degree. Are we all going to college? Every one of it. Did God tell you that? No, your mom did. You're going to college. And what we wanted to do was our family came up very blue collar, very poor. And so I realized you need to learn. People don't hire you because you need a job. They hire you because you can do something for them. Mm-hmm. Well, what can you do for other people? All of a sudden, I needed them to think like an adult. Mm-hmm. I need you to think like an adult. Adults pay for themselves. They have their own house, their own car. They buy their own groceries, pay their own. And so how do you get to become an adult? And we used to have a class for our seniors in high school. We'd make them be an adult for a whole week. Carry this 10-pound sack of flour. You're going to carry it this whole week. We're going to match up with somebody of the opposite sex. And we're going to go get a price on an apartment, a price on some insurance, what it's like to buy groceries for a week. I'm trying to experience what life's going to be like as an adult. Mm-hmm. Nobody prepares. So parents just, well, it's time for you to leave. And they don't have a clue. What does that mean?
Right.
I don't know how to buy a car. I don't know how to get insurance because I've never been taught. I've just been in La La Land. Everybody loved me. We had a good time. Dinner was on the table. But now I've got to do something. Nobody trained me. The Bible talks about training up the next generation. And so it takes time. So what I tell people, just set a God, at least a year, you know. Kids need to go. Well, give them a year. Start laying some plans. Okay, once a month we're going to sit down. Here's what you're going to need to do. Here's what you're going to need to know. Mm-hmm. Here's what you're going to need to buy. Here's the things going to come up because they don't know about adulthood.
Right.
And so you can catch up. God can redeem the time. And
right.
And a lot of parents are written back and say, hey, that worked out really good.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's fine to have requirements of your adult children.
Yes.
You have to have a job.
Yes.
You can buy your own groceries or whatever it is.
You share the food costs and you share the light bill. And people said, well, that's being mean. No, that's getting them ready for adulthood.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, my wife often reminds me that she makes more money than I do, which for a guy is pretty humiliating. I know she listens to the podcast. Would you mind explaining to women how this affects a guy? And maybe not mention my name when you read this.
Well, that's a common thing today because there are actually more women in the workforce than there are men. There are more women going to college than there are men. Society's changed. You know, when I grew up, my mom stayed home, cooked the meals. My dad went and made money. Mm-hmm. And so that began to change when I got married. You know, all of a sudden, my wife's working. She's making good money. You know, it's good as money as I'm making. You know, right. She had better benefits, better health insurance. And so it was two people. We just wanted to grow up together. We just fell in love. Hey, we want to get married. But then we had to talk about money because we're having to pay for bills and buy things and rent things. Like, well, that's my money. No, this is our money.
Right.
Well, I'm contributing more than you are. Well, no, it's still our money.
Right.
We got the same goal and the same plan. So for somebody that's not a believer, this is a very tough thing to make happen.
Yeah.
You know, as a believer, I say, you know, a wedding is a funeral. You got married, you died, you promised that covenant, I'm going to spend the rest of my life living for them and meeting their need.
Right.
And so you sit down together, it's like, okay, well, how much money do we have and what do we need? Well, I'm making this much, you're making that much.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then we both need to probably make more money. If I used to tell people when I got married, we were making $10,000 a year. But my rent was only $55 a month.
Ooh.
You know, for $35 a week, you could eat great food and great groceries.
Was this in the Depression?
Yeah, well, no, it was not in the Depression. Gasoline was 29 cents a gallon, not $2.90 a gallon. Life changed. And it's going to change in another year,
yeah.
And another 5 years. The cost of living is going to keep going up. Mm-hmm. Well, God promised to supply all of our needs. So as a couple, what we're going to do? Well, whatever you do, I want you to like doing what you're doing for a living. And so pre-marriage counselors sit down and say, well, what do you do? Well, I'm an accountant. He's of this. Well, how long do you want to do this? Well, I'd like to work the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. I don't have any kids. I'd like to have a couple. Well, when they're born, what are we going to do with them? I'm going to send them to daycare. Is that okay with you? Sure. Well, if it's okay, it's okay. But what if it's not okay with them? I don't want my kids in daycare. I want my wife to raise them. Well, she's busy running her business. And so you're going to have to talk about it. There is no thus saith the Lord on this. You two are going to have to get an agreement. And so try to help people make decisions, because life does not stay the same day to day.
Yeah, and I am the only girl in my family, and I had all boy cousins except for one. And so I have a son. And the thing about men is people in our society try to make men and women the same. They are not. And honor and respect is very, very important to a man.
Huge.
And it's demeaning to lord over a man. It would be demeaning to lord over a man or a woman that you made more money or that you were a better looking or, you know, whatever.
Smarter.
Smarter. but out of respect and love, I would take that as a wife off the table. Yes. Because if you truly are united as one, then it doesn't really matter where it comes from. Because it would be like saying, like Joe received an inheritance and he's like, this is all mine. And then I'd be like, oh, okay. it would change the dynamics. It's an unfair dynamic to bring into the relationship. So I would just say, let me honor and respect my husband. And I can guarantee you, if you do that, make that adjustment, there are things that you're looking for as a wife that he'll rise up, and out of that respect and honor, you'll be blessed as well.
Well, Romans 2:1 is a great thing in the Message translation. It says, be careful when you judge somebody else. For when you judge somebody else, you condemn yourself, for it takes one to know one. Mm-hmm. The fact that your wife's lording this thing over you means she's got a hole in her soul somewhere, mm-hmm. that it's where she finds her value. Mm-hmm. And how much money you make is not your value.
No.
But evidently, she's been brought to think, that makes me important. No, it doesn't. You know, the fact that you know God makes you important, that Jesus died for you, that makes you important. Mm-hmm. You know, that you married, that makes you important. You have a spouse that loves you and wants to spend the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. The fact you're having to cut him down or make him feel smaller, this is your spouse. This is your husband. This is mm-hmm. God's gift to you. Why would you do that? And so there's some challenges on both sides here, but don't do that. There are rules about being married. You can't just say anything that hits your brain. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth unless it ministers grace to the hearer, the Bible says in 1 Peter 3. You don't be cutting your spouse down. You expect him to do better. Hey, I'm thinking you have favorite work. Something's going to get better. I might be up now, but you may be up tomorrow. We're for one another. We're not cutting down one another.
And for the husband as well, as she makes an adjustment, there's things I can promise you that she would like you to make an adjustment in as well, and you need to consider that. And that's what marriage is.
It's true.
And it's an ebb and flow.
It is an ebb and flow. The ocean comes in constantly, goes out constantly. And you have to realize something. She might be making more money now, but her company could shut down tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Could go belly up this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, and then that's going to change the rules. So if that's where you found your worth and your value, you just lost your worth, because that was based on things. They move. You're for one another. You're not against one another.
Yeah, that is very true. So stay united.
Yes.
And we'll keep your name silent.
Yes. Well, thanks for listening to this week's Monday Mailbag. Before we go, we just want to thank all of our ministry partners for your faithful giving and for your prayers. It is because of you that we're able to continue reaching people and changing lives. If you'd like to become a partner with us or even give a one-time gift, please go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com, and click the Donate tab. There you can give and help us reach more and more people with this message.
Thank you, everybody, for your great questions. Our podcast posts every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And, of course, Monday is when we answer your questions. Make sure to tell your friends about the podcast so they can get blessed, too. And definitely email us your questions or message us on Facebook or Instagram. We love you guys.
God bless.